Just like to say good morning to each and every one that haven't had a chance to speak to this morning. We just got back in town, and we thank you all for your prayers and all the wonderful saying this morning that we miss you while you were gone. Brother Mike Murphy said, "Brother Nelson, I see you just all over the place." I said, "You shouldn't have never encouraged me to retire." You know, and so this has been great for us to just to have the freedom to travel about and meet our brothers and sisters in different parts of the country. We just spent the weekend last week with Brother Vital Robinson again, and he sends his love here to this congregation as well. He really did enjoy himself while he was here. This morning, I just want to just to piggyback what Brother Dennis mentioned this morning on our visitors. We certainly welcome all of our visitors with us this morning that are visiting. And as the Word of God come forth this morning, my hope and prayer is always that something will be said from the Word of God that will be helpful and instrumental in the stirring up of our pure minds. It's just to cause us just to think as we journey through this life. You know, in the book of Proverbs chapter 30, and verse 5 and 6, the Bible says that every word of God is pure, and he is a shield to them that put their trust in him. So add not to his word, lest he reprove thee, and you be found a liar. In the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible teaches us there, so what if some do not believe the faith of God? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without void? The Bible says, nay, let God be true, and every man a liar. And so anytime anyone says anything differently than what is stated in God's word, regardless how charismatic they may be, they are lying. Because the word of God is true. In the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, Isaiah says that the grass withered and the flowers faded, but the word of our God endureth forever. And so that's what we have this morning is to rely upon is the word of God. And I have this lesson this morning, and I will say, and I'll stick to it, it's a short lesson. Brother Shane always said, "Brother Nelson, when you say short, we know it's going to be long." But this is going to be a short lesson this morning coming from the book of Genesis concerning the ship of salvation. And we find that in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. And this is one of my favorite sermons to preach, is this lesson of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. It talks about the ark that Noah sailed in for the saving of his family paints for us one, I think, that one of the most beautiful pictures of salvation that we have in Christ Jesus today. And so we want to spend a little time in looking at that lesson this morning, hopefully that we will find something in that lesson that will help us today. But before we go any further into this lesson this morning, I would like for us to just humble ourselves once again and petition the throne of God as the one has been selected to lead us in prayer. This lesson this morning, I should have asked Sister Joy to do the drawing for me this morning. I just want to draw a ship here. This is the ark. This is the cross, and the Church of Christ. These are the three points that I would like to make with this lesson this morning. I will be studying from the King James Version this morning. If you have another translation, it's fine. But I just happen to like the thee and the thou when it comes to the King James Version. We will start in the old book the book of Genesis, the very beginning, and it details for us the beginning of time. And I'd like for us to start to read in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, "These are the generations of Noah." It said Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. I know a lot of people have a problem with that word perfect, but the Bible says that Noah was perfect in his generation. And notice it says that, "And Noah walked with God." See, "And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupt his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth.'" Verse 14 said, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is a fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under the heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." And the Bible says in verse 22, said, "This did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so he did." In chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Bible says that, "And the Lord said unto Noah, 'Come, thou and all thy house unto the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation.'" So we see the word this morning, "come." An invitational word. And they tell me that this word is used over 1,900 times in the Bible. The word "come." We find that in the book of Genesis is used to come as an invitation. Notice God did not say to Noah, "Get into the ark," or "Go into the ark." He says, "Come." An invitational word. We find that in the book of St. Matthew, chapter 11 In verse 28, the invitational word is to come all ye that labor and that are heavy laden. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. We find it again in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, and verse 17. We find there that the Bible teach in that book of Revelation is that the Spirit says to the church is to come. An invitational word. Jesus says, whosoever will, let him come. And so this morning in this lesson, we want to take a look at the divine preservation of this ark that Noah built. We want to look at the divine construction of this ark that Noah sailed in. And we want to look at the divine origination of this ark. We need to understand that as Noah was building this ark, that it had never rained before. And so here's a man that was building an ark on dry land, and he was telling the people to repent, for it was going to rain. And because that it had never rained before, people didn't believe him. He says, repent, it's going to rain. And the Bible tells us that Noah spent 120 years building this ark. 120 years telling people that it was going to rain. And the Bible tells us that in that day and time that people went about giving in marriage and marrying. So they were sitting down to eat and rising up to play. And they never knew until the flood came and took them all away. So that's something I'd like to share with us this morning, that if we have forgotten about this, we're living in our last days. Just want to remind us this morning that we are living in our last days, and we need to be sober-minded, looking for the soon second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we journey through this life. I want us to look at verse 9 once again in the book of Genesis chapter 6. Notice the Bible says, and these are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And the Bible says that Noah and his family were the only one that were saved from a whole generation of people. You think about that. Why were these eight souls saved? They were saved because they were where God had commanded them to be, inside of this ark. The Bible tells us that it rained. God said that he was going to bring down rain upon the land. And brothers, sisters, and friends, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. It poured. It rains furiously for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says, until the whole earth was filled with water. Until the water exceeded all the great mountains. And if you couldn't live in water, you expired. You died. You couldn't live in water. God brought about his judgment, and it rained on this ark. But through that judgment, those eight souls were saved because they were where God had commanded them to be. And so in the day and time that you and I are living in, the place of safety today for all mankind is in Jesus Christ's church, the church of Christ. And when you tell people that, people react the same way that they did in the day of Noah. They just cannot comprehend the fact that this is the only place where you can be saved and protected from the wrath of God is in Jesus Christ's church. Now, God's judgment fell over 2,000 years ago when it fell on Calvary, on Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross. And we need to understand that everything that Jesus went through on that cross, every unbeliever will go through at the end of time if they're not in the place where God has commanded them to be. Now, God has never put his salvation in more than one place at a time. And that day and time, it was in the ark. That's where you had to be. To be protected from the wrath of God is inside of that ark. He tells us today, we have to be in the Jesus Christ church, the church of Christ. You might say that, Brother Nelson, you're a little bit narrow-minded. You tell me this is the only place that that God will save. The Bible says that salvation is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when he died upon the cross. If you remember the story of the rich man in the book of Luke chapter 16, when the Bible says that he died and lifted his eyes up in hell, he called for Father Abraham. He said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water, that I might be able to cool my tongue." He said, "For I am in torment." And Abraham said, "There's a great gulf between you and us. Neither can we go there, or you cannot come hither where we are." Notice what Jesus said on the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" At that time when God's wrath fell on Jesus' cross on Calvary, God had turned his face from Jesus because Jesus took upon our sins. The Bible says that he bore our sins. He took a lick for us. He was crucified for us. He was our substitute. We were the one that had sinned. Jesus had not sinned. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says that, "For he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be found the righteousness of God in him." Jesus paid our sin debt. He was our substitute. He was our propitiation. And so this morning, as we look at this lesson this morning in this ark, we find that Noah and his family were saved because they were in a place of safety on where God had commanded them to be. I want to just read on a little further here. I want us to look at the same book, chapter 6. And just before I go to chapter 6, I just want to go back to Genesis chapter 2 and just take a look at this, because this really sort of puzzled me until I really went back and looked over it. You know, the Bible says that it had never rained before. And I used to always wonder sometimes, how did all the vegetation remain healthy and green? Notice what happened. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis chapter 2, and I want to look at a passage of scripture here. I want to start at verse 5, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible says, "And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, and for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground." Now you think about this. I know that we can't even imagine that not raining, because it's something that's a part of our life, is rain. But the Bible says at this time,
It had not rained. But notice in verse 6, the Bible says, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. That's how God took care of all the living things. He caused a mist to come up from the ground. And that's how people got water during those days. And you see, here's a man that's building an ark on dry land. And he's telling people that one day it was going to rain. And because it had never rained, they didn't believe it. And you tell people today that you need to be in the Church of Christ, and they'll look at you like you have two heads on your shoulder. Amen. You see, because the Bible tells us that Jesus says in the book of John chapter 10, you know what it says? Let us go there and take a look at that. The book of St. John chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 1. And see what the Bible teach on that. Jesus talked about being the sheepfold. Notice what he says. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbing up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Jesus Christ says that he was the door. He is the door to get us in. If we want to go from this earth and to go to heaven where he is, he's that door. He is that door. If a man try to climb up any other way, he's no more than a thief and a robber. He says in the book of St. John chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, if we want to get to God, we got to go through Jesus Christ. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life. Let us go back to the book of Genesis where we were, and we look a little more into these passages of Scripture in Genesis chapter 6. What I wanted to notice that this ark that Noah sailed in, that had a void in, was of divine origination. Notice what the Bible teach in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 6. God told Noah, said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room thou shalt make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. He said, and fashion it from which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 in cubits, and breadth of 50 cubits, and height of 30 cubits. He said, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and it, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make of it. I want us to notice that, you see, it wasn't what Noah said to God, but rather what God said to Noah. Noah had absolutely no say-so when it came to building that ark. The origination was from God. You see, God is the one that gives salvation. Noah had no say-so. And just like Noah had no say-so in the building of that ark concerning the saving of his souls, neither do we have any say-so when it comes to salvation. God is the one that is the origination of salvation. He's the one that teaches us on how to be saved. We have no say-so. We just have to obey God and do what he says to do. Want us to notice that it was God that told Noah what kind of wood to use. It was God that told Noah how to pitch that ark. It was God that told Noah where the door should be. It was God that told Noah where the window should be. God was the original mind that built this ark, and Noah obeyed him.
of every detail that God gave him. It was God. I want to notice you when we read chapter 7, when Noah had done everything that God had commanded him to do, then God says, come. He said, come into the ark. Because God knew that that ark would float. He knew it. He knew that ark would protect Noah and his family when he built it according to God's blueprint. And so it is with us today, brothers and sisters and friends. As we notice, there wasn't but one door in that ark. Only one door. And Jesus said over in Matthew, he was the door. In that ark, there's only been one door. You see, even if you were a lion, the king of the jungle, when they got ready to come inside of that ark, they all had to come through that one door. Even if you were just a little domestic kitty cat, when you got ready to come into that ark, you had to come through that same one door. It wasn't but one door. You see, the Bible tells us this morning that Jesus says that I am the door. And it doesn't matter how much money we may have in this life, how much influence we may have among our communities. You know, when we want to go where God is, we have to come through that same door. That's not but one door. That's not but one door for us to enter in. You can be born on one side of the track with a silver spoon or a gold spoon in your mouth. You got to go through that one door. Or you could be that bum on the other side of the track. You still come through that same door. You know, the problem is that some people say when you talk to them about being saved, they say, well, I would get saved, but you know, I know some people over there where you go, they're not living right. You got some pretenders over where you worship. You got some hypocrites. And so, therefore, they don't want to come in to the place of safety. My question is, everywhere you go, you're going to find some hypocrites. We go to the ball games. They got hypocrites there. We don't leave the ball games. We go to the movies. They got hypocrites there. We don't leave the movie because somebody's in there not living right. Brothers and sisters and friends, it's better to be on the inside with a few people that are not living right and be on the outside and we die and we're with all the hypocrites for eternity. Don't you know that when Noah and his family aborted that ark, you had some snakes on that ark. You had some rattlers. You had some porcupines on that ark. You had some skunks on there. But you know what? It was better to stay inside of that ark for safety than be on the outside where all of this was going on when God's wrath fell on that ark. The Bible said it rained. It poured for 40 days and 40 nights. But God preserved those 8 souls. They were protected from the wrath of God. And so it is with the church today. The Church of Christ. And when I say the Church of Christ, a lot of people say, well, you mean tell me that building over at Longwood, that's where you have to be in order for you to be saved? That's not what I'm saying. You see, this building that we are worshiping in, it is for practical reason. And when we leave here today, we don't leave God back here, do we? You see,
The building is holy when we assemble ourselves here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is when the building becomes holy. But when we leave here, we don't leave God back here. God goes with us. We could be out here underneath the tree and assemble ourselves in the name of Jesus Christ. It is the teachings that makes the church of Christ. You have to look at the teachings. What's being taught in the Bible. And I say this morning, if you're here this morning and you're coming from a different faith, look in the Bible and see if where you are worshiping, see if it's in the Bible. See, can you find that church in the Bible? It's important, brothers and sisters. Because God said in time past, God winked at ignorance. Acts 17 and verse 30. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. And so this morning, Jesus spoke of it. Jesus said it's going to be just like the days of Noah when he comes again. You're going to have people that they're marrying, giving in marriage. They're sitting down to eat, rising up to play. You might say, well, Brother Nelson, what's wrong with a person going out to dinner? There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with marriage? There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is that we are going on as if everything is okay. And we're not even thinking and planning about the life to come. That's the problem. Because when Jesus come again, your dog is not going to be able to make any funny noises. Your animal is not going to be able to behave in an unusual way when he comes again. The Bible says he's coming just like a thief in the night. If you're not careful, if we're not watching, we won't be able to make it in. I want us to look at a passage of scripture here. I want us to look at the book of Matthew chapter 24. So let us turn there to the book of Matthew chapter 24. And we'll look at verse 36. Matthew 24 and verse 36. Notice what Jesus says. He says, but of that day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus says that even he doesn't know when the end of time will come. The only someone that knows that is his Father. God. The angels of heaven don't know when the end of time. You see, this day, right today, could be our last day. We don't know. Well, it may not be the end of the world, but, you know, this day could be the end of our life. We don't know that. But what we have to do, we have to make sure, is when the roll is called, will your name be up there? That's what we have to make sure when that roll is called. Will you answer? And the only way that we're going to know that, brothers and sisters and friends, is that we're going to have to study this Bible and look at this Bible and see what the Bible teaches. That's the only way we're going to know. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah said, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, for it's not in man that walketh that can direct his steps. Brothers and sisters and friends, we need guidance. And God has given it to us when he gave us his word. Look at the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36 and verse 37. The Bible says in 37, says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Isn't that something? The same way that the flood took all those people away is going to be just like this today. But the only difference in our time, it won't be water. This time it's going to be fire. It won't be water anymore. And you talk to some people and tell you, well, you know what? God wouldn't burn people up. God's too good for that. You talk to people and they'll tell you that. That's not a literal fire that the Bible is speaking of. Yeah, people are going to tell you that. Don't forget the flood. Let us not forget that flood that took all of those people away. And the Bible tells us that this time will be fire. We'll look at a passage of scripture here in the book of 2 Peter. If we will turn there, we'll look at a few passages of scripture, and we'll come to the conclusion of this lesson. But I just want us just to look at 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 9. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see, God wants all of us to be saved. And you and I, we need to have the attitude that if there's anyone that gets saved, it's going to be me. That's the attitude that we should have in our life, making sure that we're working on our soul salvation. Notice what the Bible says in verse 10. It said, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also in its works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" So looking for the hasting and the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. What manner of person are we to be? Brothers and sisters, in that day when the end of time shall come, when the trumpet is sound, and time will be no more, you're going to have people that's scurrying, and they're going to be running, looking for a place to hide. And the Bible says they're going to run to the mountains and run to the hills for a hiding place. And the mountains are going to speak back to them and say, "No hiding place. You're not going to be able to hide." But brother and sister, if we are on the right hand of God, and if we have obeyed God, have done what God has asked us to do, is to be in his church where salvation is. That's not going to be a day of scariness for the Christian. It's going to be a day of jubilation when Christ comes to embrace his eternal bride. It's going to be a day of joy. That's something that we can look forward to. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter says this. He said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved." No other name has God given us. You think about that. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. God has not given unto man on earth any other name whereby we are to be saved by other than the name Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. No other name. And I'd like to give this last scripture, and we'll come to the conclusion of the lesson. And this is in the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, we will find that that's in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. We'll find that when Noah entered into that ark, that the only people that in that ark was he and his family. You know what the Bible said about that? they all had the same name. Only the Noahs were saved. You had Shem Noah, Ham Noah, Japheth Noah. Only the Noahs were saved. Notice what the Bible has to say in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. The Apostle Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." The Church of Christ here on earth has the same name in heaven. The whole family here on earth and also in heaven. Just think about that as we come to the conclusion of this lesson this morning. Brothers and sisters, this ark that Noah sailed in paints for us one of the most beautiful pictures of salvation. It lets us know that we have to obey God, and we have to be where God has commanded for us to be in order for us to be saved. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Why is that? Because Christ paid the sin debt for us on the cross. Our sins were judged in Jesus Christ on that cross. So therefore, that when God's wrath falls again, we have already have been judged because we are in Christ. And he's already judged our sins. So that's where we have to be this morning. And God has given us a plan where we're to be saved by. And this is God's plan of salvation. He tells us that we must first hear his word, after hear it, believe it, after believing it, repent, after we make the make the good confession, and then the last step is baptism. That's the last step. That is God's plan of salvation. And do you know that I was 27 years old before that I saw that plan? 27 years old. And I thank God today that he blessed me to be able to see it, to believe it, and obey it. My mother and father, I know that they had the chance because we serve a good God. Anybody that wants to be saved can be saved. But they died outside of the church. And there was a Church of Christ in our neighborhood. I know that. But they died outside of the church. And the Bible says that this is how we get into Christ. You would say, well, how do I become a member of the Church of Christ? We have to be baptized into Christ in order to become a member of the Church of Christ. Back then, they told me that, you can come by Christian experience. You don't have to be baptized. You got your experience. You can just come as a Christian experience. Or come by the right hand of fellowship. Those are the things that they taught me when I was in the Baptist faith. You don't have to be baptized. But everywhere I read in the Bible, you have to be baptized into the church. In Galatians 3 and verse 26, says, we all are children of God in Jesus Christ by faith. Said, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So that's where we put him on, in the watery grave of baptism. But why is this step so important? Because in this step right here, you can hear God's word, believe it, repent, make a confession. But if you're not baptized, then you're still not saved. You've been converted, but you're not saved. Why is that? Because you have to have your sins washed away. Now, how do you have your sin washed away? You got to come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how you get your sins washed away. And you got to be baptized. And God says that's blood in that water, although we don't see it. But if we do what God say do, that's blood in the water. The lesson is yours this morning. Hopefully something was said from the Word of God this morning that will be helpful and instrumental in the stirring up of our pure minds. And this morning, if we have sinned or brought shame to the church, we can repent of those sins and ask for the prayers of the righteous that we might be restored back into the family of God. And even if we just want prayer while we stand and sing the
invitation of the Son, anyone accepted to the gospel in any manner may make the good confession.